Psalm 123 today. It's going to require a Christian to understand these messages about ascending to the Lord and worshiping Him. Looking to the Lord for mercy, Psalm 123. Shortly, right to the point. Psalm 123. The Bible says, "Unto you I lift up my eyes," talking about the Bible. "O you who dwell in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until He hath mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud." Psalm 123 is four verses, a really short chapter in the Psalms, but it's got one major single important point. If you want to experience life abundant, the kind of life that Jesus offers us, then you need to focus on the Lord. You need to constantly looking upwards to the Lord. And no matter what circumstances we go through as Christians, or just people, the stuff of life, we continually look up to the Lord. Charles Spurgeon wrote about these Psalms that we've been going over. In Psalm 120, the psalmist looks from his distress and despair to the Lord. In Psalm 121, he looks up to the hills for his help from God. Last week in Psalm 122, he looks up to the temple, knowing that he's going to feel the presence of God in the temple. And today, the psalmist looks to God as he abides in heaven. He constantly is looking upwards to God. That's the whole point of the message today, constantly looking up and asking for help and mercy from the Lord. When we experience life that's not so pleasant, I could go through the whole congregation and pick out things that we've gone through that's not very pleasant. I want you to remember what Dr. J.C. Ryle wrote in the late 1800s. "If we are true Christians, we must not expect everything smooth in our journey to heaven. We must count it no strange thing if we have to endure sicknesses, losses, bereavements, and disappointments just like other people. Free pardon and full forgiveness, grace by the way, and glory to the end. All this our Savior has promised to give, but He has never promised that we should have no afflictions." In fact, it's just the opposite. He tells us as Christians we will suffer in this life. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be or suffer persecution." Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and all kinds of evil against you, accuse you falsely of things. You are the salt of the earth." Salt loses its flavor. How can it regain the season? So it's looking to us as salt. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to the world." So as we go through this life, we spend time pleading with God, looking towards God for mercy. So that's where we're at, because Satan's been given reign on this kingdom we call earth. Let me tell you, he affects every one of us. He attacks every one of us. Satan's got one emotion towards Christians. He hates us. He does everything he can to persecute us as Christians. He will do anything to thwart your look up, you focus on God, and you trust God. So I want us to look at two examples of two men that have trusted God in their life. And both of them are godly men. One of them is Jesus. So run over to John chapter 17 and look at verse 1 with me. John 17, verse 1. Looking up to Jesus, looking up to the Lord, asking for help, asking for mercy. So John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words. So realize it's Jesus who's doing the talking here. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Jesus looks up to his Father for help and strength. Now, what better example could we follow than Jesus Christ? He's facing trials. He's been facing trials for 3 years. People persecuted him. They accused him of doing evil things, and some people attacked him. And he gets to the greatest trial in his life, which is going to be hanging on the cross for our sins. And that's right before the cross. He focuses on the Lord God. He calls out for mercy and strength to take the pain away, but that his suffering may glorify the Lord God, the Father. He cries out to the Father. He just needs the extra strength, the extra oomph, so that he can glorify God. Now, you know what the strange thing about this is? This is God talking to God. Jesus could have said enough of it. He had the power to destroy the cross before he got home on the cross. He could have put the men to death that were going to nail him to the cross. He asked for God's mercy so that he could glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about as we're going through the stuff of life that we go through, especially now, the heartaches. And every Sunday we come and we wish things were like they used to be. Realize that experience whatever we're experiencing, we're to focus on God and ask for His help and His mercy. Right over to Acts chapter 7. Let's look at one more example of somebody going through this stuff and gets attacked. Acts 7, verses 54 through verse 60. This is Stephen. When they heard these things, he had just got done preaching a fantastic sermon that they were sinners and they needed Jesus. So when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. They were so angry with him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice, fingers in their ears, and they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Verse 55 said he looked up in heaven. He saw God and he saw the Lord Jesus standing there. I've always pictured this as Stephen going through the worst thing, I guess, you could go through, stoning to death. Right before they stone him, he looks up in heaven and he sees God and he sees Jesus standing there. And the way I picture it is Jesus standing there and he's rooting Stephen home. Go, boy, you can do this. I've got you. And guess what, Stephen? As you know, remember, I'm with you, but you have a reward waiting for you in heaven. All right. This is where we call on the Lord Jesus. We focus on Him in our life. We live for Him. And as we go through this crummy stuff we call life, well, guess what? Jesus is standing there and He's rooting us on. He's our cheerleader. He's our guide. He's our Lord. You're going to make it one way or another. You may lose your life down here. Man, the reward's waiting for you is something. We were talking this morning about describing heaven. go back to Psalm 123. Let me read verse 1 again. The psalmist says, I look up unto you, Lord. I lift my eyes unto you. You who dwell in the heavens. I got a phone call or a text this week that something bad happened in their life. Devastating. How do I overcome this? How do I get through it? And we did that by humbling ourselves before the Lord. We do that by looking up at the Lord, focus our heart, get rid of everything else, all the stuff of life, and focus our heart on the Lord. And the way I do it is I come right here, and I get my Bible out, and I get a piece of paper, I get a pad out, and I'll read a couple of verses, and I'll look back, and I look up right there at the cross. And I can see, you know, the shadows are right. You can see three crosses up there. And your mind just goes all over the place. And then you just kind of focus in on that one cross, the single cross, and realize that God died for my sins. And what a blessing it is to know that I belong to Him. And then the tears can come because I am so sinful compared to the cross, why He hadn't died. And then He started talking to me, and then I'll write some things together. Right there, and I wouldn't get up for $1 million. I want to lay myself before the Lord. I don't want anybody else in here with me. I want to be here by myself with the Lord Jesus. I may be selfish with myself, but I can't help it. That's how I focus. So how do you humble yourself before the Lord? How do you focus? You come right here. You don't have to come in here, but you can. It's always open. I mean, we'll let you in here. But you can humble yourself any place, anywhere. You get right with God. Keep on going and look at verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and as the eye of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He has mercy. Verse 2 fits right in the humbling process. God's people have no place else to turn except to God when we're going through the stuff. And as you're going through the stuff of life, the despairs of life, trials of life, realize that you're a servant of God. And if you're a servant, that means He's your master.
Amen.
So as you come and you humble yourself before the Lord, you're on your knees. If He's your master, now hear this, you depend on Him. Make sense? We're shaking our head yes, but how often don't we depend on Him? So it's like this. The truth of the matter is, if He's master and we're the servant, then we have to depend on Him. We have no choice. If He's master, you do what He tells you to do. Again, you know, how often do we do that? But if you're down here and you got your pad out, you got your Bible out, you're reading verses, and you're calling out, Lord, have mercy on me, and you're focused on God, I will promise you, I will guarantee you that He'll show you verses where He is the master. He'll show you examples of His own people that didn't pay attention to Him and what happened to them, consequences. But He'll also show you places where, like Stephen, yeah, he lost his life, and stoning wasn't a very pleasant way to go either, by the way. But man, he looks up and he sees Jesus and he sees God, and he said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And man, right then and gone. Paradise. If He's your master, you trust Him. Listen to this. You trust Him that He will care for your needs. I wrote that down, and then I put a piece of paper down and started dwelling on that. If He's responsible for my needs, that's His responsibility to me as His servant. If He's my master, then He's required to do that. If He does do that, He has no problem doing that. So as a servant, we are to be totally dependent on God in all things. Now think about that for a second. We can talk about this Wednesday night. We've talked about it several times. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world. A lot of garbage. We have elections coming up, and we've got two men that are bickering and fighting over their position. We have a Congress of fighting and bickering. They're not leading our country according to God's standard. So we're messed up there, but we're also messed up financially. We're messed up physically and spiritually and health-wise, health aid-wise, insurance-wise. Really, you look at this country and it's just a big glob of mess. But if God is our master and we're in this big glob of mess, guess what? We depend on Him. We trust Him with everything. Here's the kicker. Do you trust God enough to control the things in your life? Stephen was getting stoned to death. He never took his eyes off of God. He never forsook the mercy of God. Stephen was God's servant. God was Stephen's master. And at the end, you see where the servant looks to the father, to the master, and says, Lord, bless them. They don't know what they're doing. It doesn't matter about me. Just bring me home. God brought him home. Keep on going to look at verse 3. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Ask God for mercy and deliverance. How do I humble myself before the Lord? Ask Him to deliver me. Ask Him for His mercy. God's people, they need His mercy to press on. That's what Jesus was praying for. Lord, I need Your mercy so that I can glorify You through the stuff I'm going to go through the cross, through the persecution, through the scorn, through the humiliation that I'm going through. So we ask God for His mercy. We ask for His deliverance. There's a hidden message in here. It's kind of hidden. By looking and asking for mercy, we see example after example in the Bible of God's people asking for mercy. And God pours out His mercy on them. But there's a catch to that. They ask for His mercy. What's James saying? You have not because you ask not. So again, here's the kicker. As you go through the trials of this life, do you ask for God's mercy? I can't do that, preacher, because that's selfish. That's wrong. You can do that. God wants you to do that. Call out to Him. Focus on Him. Time and time again in these psalms we're going over, the ascent psalms we're going over, we're looking to God. We're focusing on God. We're asking for His mercy. Let me describe this word contempt. The Bible says they were full of contempt. Contempt. So verse 3 again, Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease with us, with the contempt of the proud. This word contempt means to be mocked, cursed, and scorned. They were criticized, they were taunted, they were humiliated by this world because this world is controlled by who? Satan. His opinions, his people. Webster's goes on and adds to it, but it all boils down to God's people, these people, this writer is full up here with contempt by people, the scorn of people, the humiliation that they were calling liars and evil people, and even trying to kill people back then for their love of Christ. Everybody look at me for a second. You could be stoned in the same way. Sometimes that happens. You're going to be having all these riots, and you'll have a Christian try to witness to somebody, and they'll lose their life. And you may be somebody that's at work, and you're the only Christian at work, and they just make fun of you, and you dread going to work because they make so much fun of you. And don't you just get filled up right here where you just can't take any more? That's where the psalmist is at. He cries out, have mercy twice, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. But remember this too. These psalms that we are going over are the psalms of ascent. They're stepping out onto the path, going up the mountainside to worship God, because this is stuff they've already experienced and God has taken care of them. He poured out His mercy on them too many times. You just can't count. So they're so grateful that they've gone through this and God has taken care of them by pouring out His mercy. So now they're going up, they're worshiping God, and they want to go up and worship God. They want to be part of the, all the people singing praises to God. So the question I have for you guys is, where are you now? Are you going through something right now? Have you gone through something right now? Or are you fixing to go through something in the future? You're going to be one of those three. You've either done it, you're going through it, or you're going to go through it. So all this to say a few things, and I'm going to close with these. Number one, look to the Lord for mercy. I just roll off the tip of my tongue so easy. That's where we're at. Look to the Lord for mercy. And consider that who God is. He's sovereign, He's master, He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the creator of this world. He's the one that can fix it.
Amen.
So look to Him for mercy, realize that He created it, and when He gets ready, He'll fix it. Up until that time, we're instructed to focus on Him and holler out to Him, help, help, help. As you're going through this, calling out for mercy, realize that God is sovereign over all, and whatever you're going through right now, take time to worship Him during your trial. I cannot tell you how many people, when they go through trials, turn their back on God and leave the church. Well, God didn't help me, so I really don't believe He's real. God never promised you that you're not going to go through something. Promise where you will end up at. Look to the Master as a servant. And as a servant, be obedient to Him. And as a servant, depend on Him. And as a servant, trust Him. Here's the heart of it. As a servant, wait patiently. As a servant, know that God will respond to you because He's your master and He has to. He knows your limits, and He's probably going to wait till you get to there, to your very limit, to pour out mercy on you. So ask, Lord, I'm full. I can't take it any longer. Would you pour out your mercy on me? You know, these are songs that we're going over as worship. You know, people went through the stuff that I've been talking about. They may not have gone through the COVID, but I read through some of the Old Testament things. And, you know, 40 years in the desert, they experienced a whole lot of hardship. And Jeremiah ends up there facing going through 70 years of captivity. Last night we were watching a documentary on the foods of America, what made America. And they went back to late 1800s, early 1900s. First time we'd ever had frozen food, but we didn't have refrigerators and freezers to put the frozen food in. They were ahead of their time, and that was bird's eye. Bird's eye frozen food, still number one, because somebody thought enough to do the frozen food even when we didn't have the right stuff to do it. But they were going through the 1918 in World War I. People were starving in this country because we were having to gear up for war. So they did without. took pictures of people having nothing to eat, going away to nothing, and suffering. And then they come after the war, they start gearing up, and everybody's working and making overtime and prospering. And come about 1929, after they've been prospering so much, guess what else happens? The Depression hits, and they're hungry again, starving again, without a job again, standing in line, waiting just to get an apple. Horrible circumstances. And then you go on to all the things that we've experienced. This country has always suffered.
Amen.
They may not have had the COVID, but they had the flus that killed back then. They had pneumonias that killed back then. They didn't have medicine for it. So when we go through the stuff that we're going through, it's nothing different than they are, and we're going to come through it. This country is still here, isn't it? It's the greatest country in the world, isn't it? Yeah, we'll suffer as a country, but we suffer as Christians. And if we focus on God and call out for His mercy, it's going to be all right. And if it's not all right for you and me, guess where we're going to be? We're going to be in a better place.
Christ is your Lord and Savior.